It's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 4. Thanksgiving. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge, God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be
to God.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Lord Jesus. And now, Lord, we thank you for your word, your truth. And we ask that by your Holy Spirit, you would help us to understand what you've got to say to us today and to respond obediently to your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, please do sit down. I should have said that, really. So here we are, St. Patrick's Church, 21st century Wallington. And our reading is to a church in 1st century Greece, Church of Corinth. The letter is from the famous and brilliant Apostle Paul of Tarsus to the church in Corinth. And you've got Church of England reader Dave of Wallington delivering his sermon. Any similarities? Well, I guess there's not many on the face of it, is there? I mean, none of my letters are in the Bible. That's probably a good thing. And unlike Paul, I cannot make tents. In fact, I can't even put a tent up, but that's another story. So not many similarities, I think, between me and Paul. What about the place? Well, Corinth was a Roman colony. It was at the foot of a mountain, about a couple of miles from the sea. Wallington, held by the Liberal Democrats. Nearest we get, I guess, is to Box Hill. And we have got the River Wandle, of course. Maybe not too many similarities. So what about the people? The people who made up the church in Corinth were a group of sinful people from a variety of backgrounds who had been made holy when they committed their lives to the Lord Jesus, and then who needed to be encouraged to be more like Jesus, who had saved them. Now you start to see the similarity, don't you? Here we are, an assorted bunch of rebels against God, but who God sees as holy if we have given our lives and committed our lives to the Lord Jesus, but still a people who need to be encouraged to be more like Jesus, our Saviour. So we're not so different. And if you read on to the letter that Paul writes to the Corinthians, there are other similarities that we've got to the Corinthians. We struggle with pressures, the surrounding culture, the pressures of culture. We get our priorities wrong. We've got other idols in our lives. We have disagreements and discussions about how church should be. We may have personal morality issues, all the things that the Corinthian church had. But you know, it also means that as God's church here, like God's church in Corinth then, as his chosen people, we can have absolute confidence that we can overcome all of those struggles and be confirmed in our faith in the Lord Jesus. Now, if you were here last week, David just touched on it earlier. If you were here last week, the family service team did just a brilliant job in explaining how when we become a Christian, we're made holy, we're set apart by God. But we're also then start a long journey, the rest of our lives, of becoming holy, of being transformed to become more like Jesus, the only perfect human, holy human. Now, verse 2, last week's reading, Paul had addressed the Corinthians as the sanctified, the holy people that they were. And he's going to go on in the rest of his letter to guide, to direct, to admonish them, to help them to stay on track as they grow in their holiness. But before he gets to that, he encourages them with these marvellous verses, verses 4 to 9, our reading today, emphasising that because they're holy, because they're set apart by God for his work, they have the Lord Jesus on their side. the Lord that is generous, the Lord that is faithful, the Lord who provides a solid foundation for the outworking of their faith for the rest of their lives. So if you've got a Bible with you, it's page 1144. It's always good for you to check it as I preach. Verses 4 to 9 of chapter 1. So let's look at those verses and try and get a sort of deeper understanding of what Paul means, but particularly to check how they apply to us today, how they apply to us in our personal relationship with the Lord Jesus, but also, and this is a key point as Paul writes this letter, as a congregation, as we sometimes say, the body of Christ. Those who know Jesus are the body of Christ. Because it's not just us as individuals that are called to be holy, but we have a joint responsibility because we're called to be holy as church as well, as God's church here at St. Patrick's. So I've got two headings, two reasons as we go through today, why we can have such confidence in our holy status, in our set-apart status. The first one is that God is generous when he calls us. And then secondly, which will be shorter at the end if you worry about the time I take on the first one, is that God is faithful because he has called us. So firstly, God is generous when he calls us. This is verses 4 to 7. And as I said, having been called to be holy in verse 2, we're told, we then see in verse 4 that in calling people to be Christians, that involves God in being generous. This is verse 4. Firstly, generous in giving us our salvation. Or as Paul puts it in verse 4, giving us his grace in giving in Jesus. And Paul is very thankful for that. And he should be, because it is the main thing to be thankful for. It means we're saved. It means we are rescued from that hell of eternal separation from God. It means that we're reconciled with the Father at peace forever in a relationship with God. A relation that is we can have through Jesus, given as we were just singing that song, because of God's great love for us in giving his son Jesus to die for us. Paul is thankful. But Paul is also thankful for the grace of Jesus given to the church, the body of those Christians together, because it means that together, that church in Corinth and our church of God here in St. Patrick's, it means that we're set up to proclaim that grace of God in Jesus to other people through our words, through our actions, and then to encourage each other as we do that. You've only got to look around you, try and move your eyes without moving your head, and you see that we are a pretty weird bunch of people, a bit of a mixed bag, aren't we? But you've heard me say before, I think, that, you know, you are so precious to me. I love St. Patrick's. I am so thankful to be part of God's church here at St. Patrick's. And I shudder to think where I would be if I'd not been led to this church 20-odd years ago. And to see and to receive and to benefit from the grace given to you in Jesus in my life. Many times, Jesus working through you in my life has made the difference in something. Of course, there are things as a church we can do better. And there are times when people say and do things that make me sad. But that doesn't mean I change from being thankful to God for the people of St. Patrick's. And as I reflected on this verse, verse 4, it made me think of those great stories that Jesus tells in Luke 15 of the lost sheep and the lost coin, where it tells us that when someone becomes a Christian, there is rejoicing in heaven. And I think sometimes that we don't keep that rejoicing enough. We don't say, thank you, God, that I'm a Christian. We forget sometimes that basic thing. We forget to say that, thank you that Andrew's a Christian. Thank you that David's a Christian. Thank you that Claire's a Christian. And sometimes we forget to say, thank you, Lord, for the grace of Jesus in the people of God here at St. Patrick's. Can I encourage you to keep that rejoicing going? As we move into verse 5, Paul's thanksgiving shifts to the work of the Holy Spirit in them and in us when he says that we're enriched in every way. We'll come on to the specifics of speech and knowledge that he mentions in a minute. But first, it's just good to note that God has enriched St. Patrick's in every way. What does that mean? Well, it means that the different knowledge, the skills, the gifts and the experiences that each of us had and have, maybe before we were Christians, through God's common grace, Well, they've been enriched by the power of the Holy Spirit once we become Christians. And then, on top of that, when we become Christians, God will probably give us, or will give us, particular gifts as part of his saving grace, his special grace for us to use. So when we put all of those individual gifts and skills and everything that God has given us and has enriched together as one cohesive body at St. Patrick's, we're equipped to do whatever God calls us to do, even though sometimes we think, how do we do it? If he wants us to do something, he has equipped us to do it, but we've got to do it together. Verse 7 says this, therefore you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed, for when Jesus comes back. We've got it all if we're willing to use it. Those gifts include all kind of speech and knowledge, all the truth that we need to know about Jesus, and the ability to speak about him in all sorts of places and circumstances. They've been given to us. And that knowledge is the truth of the gospel, that Jesus has done all that is necessary to save us through his death on the cross and his resurrection. There's nothing more to add. Our task as Christians is to grasp it and apply it through the power of the Holy Spirit, through his wisdom, through discernment of the Holy Spirit. And the all kinds of speech are the varieties of way that truth is shared, to lead people to Jesus and then to encourage and disciple us, if we're already Christians, preaching and teaching and evangelism and testimony, words of knowledge and speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues and many other things. But as Paul says in chapter 13 of his letter, we need to be very careful that we use all of these in love and for encouragement. Paul says that the Corinthians and us have been generously given that enrichment that we need to do the work that he has called us to do. And because that enrichment is from the Lord, it's not deficient in any way at all. Even if we often feel ill-equipped to use it because we think we need to do it differently or we feel we can't, we need to trust the Lord because it's in his power that he will use that enrichment in us for his work. And following on in verse 6 is like a double encouragement to us all as we carry out that privilege, that responsibility of speaking about Jesus, of showing Jesus in our lives, in our activities. If you know a bit about Paul, you can read about it, and he says it himself. He had weaknesses, but yet he faithfully preached the truth of the gospel. So as he writes now to the Corinthians, he's thankful because he's able to confirm to the Corinthians how their lives show that they have been set apart. They've been made holy as a response to hearing his truth, the God's truth, through the weaknesses of Paul, through his testimony. And then that's an encouragement to them and to us not to be drawn into adding or changing anything to the gospel, the truth of the gospel, but to treat it faithfully, teach it faithfully through words, through like now, and through like our testimony in our lives and so on. And God will do the rest. That's his promise. That's for us. I know for me personally, on some occasion, it's been such a blessing when I share the truth of God's word, however weak and garbled it may have felt to me, that someone then comes back to me and says, you know, as a result of what you said, with the Lord's help, I'm going to do this, or I've changed that, or I'm adding this. It's such a wonderful blessing. So for all of us who have the opportunity to pass on God's word, representing St. Patrick's and on behalf of God's church at St. Patrick's, that's not just preaching, that's doing a Bible study at life group, at home group. It's TGIs and toddlers and Cameo, and all the children's and young people's groups, and afternoon fellowships, and WASPs, and men's breakfast, and something else that I've forgotten, I'm sure. God has generously given us all kinds of speech and knowledge and skills so that we share the gospel in those places. And it's for us to trust God's word, his truth of the gospel, and do that through our lives and through those activities. Verses 4 to 7 show us that we could be confident in our holiness because of God's generosity in the past, when he saved us, when he called us, when he gave us Jesus, and also of his generosity now in the present, as he enriches us by his Holy Spirit with all that we need to continue his work in the gospel. And that brings us on to verses 8 and 9 and the second heading. Because verse 8 and 9 then look to the future. God is faithful because he called us. Some of what follows in the letter that Paul writes to the Corinthians is hard-hitting stuff, and it needs to be. Because some of them have misused the gifts they've been given, and some of them have misunderstood and mistaught the truth of the gospel. And because we're like the Corinthians, there are times when our outward presentation as a church or our internal grumbling means we don't shine as brightly as Jesus wants us to. So Paul makes it very clear in verses 8 and 9 that messiness, if I can call it that, our struggle to let go of the things that we know are wrong and to grasp more tightly of the Lord Jesus, he says it doesn't impact on our salvation as individual Christians. Verse 8, it says, he will keep us firm to the end. Keep us firm in our faith. Other translations say, sustain or keep on confirming us that we have been justified, that because of Jesus' blood, our slate has been wiped clean, and it stays wiped clean. And it will be wiped clean when Jesus comes on the day of judgment and says, I recognise you, Dave. Verses 8 and 9 here are the equivalent of that great verse that Paul writes to Romans in verses 8:1 and what follows, that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And the reason we can be so confident about that is verse 9. It says God is faithful. Maybe that's good enough. But he's faithful because he has called us. He's called us to be set apart for him. He's called us to be in fellowship, in relationship with Jesus. And you know, God doesn't get it wrong. God is always right. So when he decided to call us to be Christians and to give us the grace of Jesus, and then to enable us by his Holy Spirit to call back to him and say, yes, Jesus, I accept that gift, that free gift that you give me of salvation, it means he was totally committed from that point on, and probably before. It's an unreversible decision. The Bible tells us that God is not like us. God fulfills the promises he makes. When he says he's going to be with us always, that doesn't just mean when we became a Christian. It means all of our life as a Christian and forever in eternity with him. However unholy we might feel at times, when we make a mess of it, the Lord Jesus promises that we will stay firm in the faith. It's an unbreakable promise that God has given us when he called us. So that gives us just amazing, supreme confidence. When we get it wrong as individuals, when we get it wrong as a church, to get up, to brush ourselves down and recommit. Recommit as individuals, recommit as his people of God here at St. Patrick's to do his work, to tell the thousands of people out there who do not know the Lord Jesus. Our source of confidence is twofold. It's God's generosity in the past and now in the present, and it's his faithfulness to us, his promise to us for the future. And that sort of really leads on to a third point. Because all of our confidence is because of Jesus. If you've got your Bibles open, or go and have a look later on, look at verses 1 to 9, the whole passage, verses 1 to 9. Do you know, every verse is about Jesus. Every verse mentions Jesus, either by name or by him. Everything Paul says is because of Jesus. I think the application for us today as God's chosen people here at St. Patrick's is to ask, how are we going to take that confidence that we have in Jesus, that absolute certain foundation, how are we going to take it forward? There's a number of ways, but can I encourage you, if you don't know the Lord Jesus, you know, to step out, commit your life to him, ask him for the salvation that he offers. If you are a Christian, maybe you just need to recommit individually. But also commit or recommit to being part of the body of St. Patrick's. Commit wholeheartedly to the work of St. Patrick's, ensuring that you're contributing the gifts that you have been enriched with for the wider mission, God's work here at St. Patrick's and beyond that we do. And then as you do, keep on giving thanks. Giving thanks that you're a Christian, that they're a Christian, that the body is under Jesus. And keep on encouraging each other as we do that. You know, on days like today, big days like today in the calendar, as a preacher, you can feel a little bit under pressure sometimes to come up with some clever link between the day and the passage of the day. But you know, on this Remembrance Day, it really, really is an easy one. Because you just need to remember Jesus. You've only got to read this passage and you cannot forget Jesus. Jesus, the one who gave the ultimate sacrifice. The one who gave his all, who gave his life for you, for me, so that we could be set apart, that we could be holy for him, for his work, to serve him individually, but today particularly as we're thinking, to serve him and glorify him as his church here at St. Patrick's. And you know, if Jesus has saved you, although as I said at the beginning, I am not Paul, what I can do is I'm going to read these words to you and I can know confidently that I can read this to you as Jesus' church here at St. Patrick's. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for the Lord Jesus to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.